Support for Alaska Public Media On Demand comes from Costco Business Center, offering delivery to Anchorage Air Cargo companies for shipments to rural Alaska for business and home. More at CostcoBusinessDelivery.com.
Good morning, Alaska, and welcome to Line One, your health connection on Alaska Public Media. I'm your host, Prentice Pemberton. Well, dementia, including Alzheimer's disease, is now the sixth leading cause of death in the United States, and the numbers are growing. Dementia is characterized by a long, slow decline in physical and cognitive functioning, and with no effective treatment or cure, Alzheimer's is one of the most terrifying diagnoses a person and a family can get. Lasting for more than 10 years, Alzheimer's takes a tremendous toll on the partners and children of those suffering from the unrelenting march of this incurable and untreatable disease. Joining me today to discuss all things dementia are Amber Smith and Gay Wellman from the Alzheimer's Resource of Alaska. Welcome to the program. I appreciate you both taking the time to join me today.
Thank you very much. This is Gay Wellman, and I really appreciate being able, we, both of us really appreciate being able to do this. You're taking the time. Because as you say, it's an important topic.
Absolutely. And Gay, I understand you were joining us from Copper Center. Is that where you are?
Yeah, actually living in Kenny Lake. We're just between a Copper Center, or Glen Allen and Valdez.
Yeah, pass it every time I go to the Copper to go get fish.
That's right. You just went right past my door.
Right through Kenny Lake. And we stop and get refreshments at the local store there. All right. I got to take just a second to remind folks that we value and encourage listener participation. If you have a question for my guests, a comment about today's topic, or you just want to share a little bit about how dementia might have touched your life or the life of someone you love, there are three ways to connect with us. If you are in the Anchorage area, our phone number is 907-550-8433. And now, as most of you are getting used to, we do have to do 907 locally, so for all calls. If you are listening outside of Anchorage, you can reach us toll-free at 1-888-353-5752. And the last way to reach us is to email your questions to line1@alaskapublic.org. You got to spell out line one, L-I-N-E-O-N-E. We will do our best to answer your questions on the air, get your comments in. If you wait until the last 5 minutes, then which a lot of people do, then generally we will run out of time. So call in early, send an email early, and we can get your question on. So, all right, I guess let's start off with, we can start off with Gay, since her reception is coming in quite well. And give us a little bit of like your background and what you do at Alzheimer's Resource.
Okay, great. Yeah, I've been in Alaska since 1978, first living in Anchorage, of course. And at that time, I have an RN. I'm a licensed nurse. And so I worked for a while in a chemical dependency unit there in Anchorage, and then got hired, worked over with the community, Anchorage Community Mental Health for quite a while as a RN working with chronically mentally ill people who had dual diagnosis, substance abuse plus some sort of mental illness, which was a wonderful experience. I worked for a short while, for about 3 years, with the VA, again, in a chemical dependency unit, supposedly getting them started with a dual program, but they weren't quite ready for that. So I then moved out here to the Copper Basin, I worked for quite a few years with Copper River Native Association, working with families at risk, getting very involved with fetal alcohol spectrum disorder, was on one of the teams for that. And then I moved on to this wonderful job with Alzheimer's Resource of Alaska. So it feels like I've been working with folks that have brain changes for various different reasons. And what I've realized is that it's all the same. Doesn't really matter what causes a brain change. It is a brain change. And so it feels like over my career of working career anyway, that it's built on itself and it's been great. So I have all those things that I can pull on. And as far as my history with Alzheimer's Resource, or ARA, as we affectionately call it these days, is that I started working for them in 2007, I think it was. So I've been with them for about 14, 15 years, working as an education specialist based out here. At first, I was working for full time when we still had in-home services. And then when we had to drop that, I was full time with education, which was my love anyway. And in that role, I have been providing online trainings. I also do in-person things, but with the population spread out the way it is here in the Copper Basin, I do go down to Valdez on a fairly regular basis, or I used to, and help them with in the long-term care facility there and at the senior center. So it's about what I'm doing with them is more online things. And of course now, because of COVID, all of the education specialists are proficient with Zoom, and we are able to provide all kinds of services with that. So I've been doing online and on the phone, and I do a radio. I do the coffee break out of Cordova, out of Valdez. I also have gone over to Cordova. So it's a very exciting job. And right now feels like we're reaching out to the whole state since we're able to do this Zooming all over.
Yeah.
And Amber is our pro on, she's the go-to whenever we had trouble with our Zooming.
That's been,
so I'm going to turn it over to Amber if that's okay.
That's great. It's been one of the sort of, unintended blessings of, COVID, I think, has been, you know, this ability to deliver services in a new way that has become really acceptable. And right. we'll talk a little bit about some of the rural outreach. So I'm glad you're coming to us in that capacity, because that's one of the questions I really have in our state for everybody who delivers resources is how incredibly vast and spread out we are with no roads and very small populations all over the state. And it's been really, really challenging to deliver good resources and good services to folks. So Amber, give us a little bit about your background, and then we'll get into some of the meat of our conversation.
Yeah, I have an MD, and I did my residency training in neurology. And I've worked for Alzheimer's Resource of Alaska since 2008. So just a little bit after Gay. I've been in the Juneau office since 2008. My job title there is an education specialist. I've gotten to do various, you know, meet people, support people, run various groups since I've been with the agency.
All right. I will going to take just a second to kind of reconnect here. If you're just tuning in today, we are talking dementia, Alzheimer's, resources locally and now in other communities in Alaska. And my guests are Amber Smith and Gay Wellman from Alzheimer's Resource of Alaska. If you have a question for my guests or a comment about today's topic, you can reach us in three ways. Our Anchorage number is 907-550-8433. Outside of Anchorage, you can call us toll-free at 1-888-353-5752. And the last way is to email us at line1@alaskapublic.org. Okay. Amber, I guess since you have been with them for with ARA for quite some time, can you give us a little bit about the history and the mission of your program?
Sure. We have a mission statement. Our mission statement is to support Alaskans affected by Alzheimer's disease, related dementias, and other disabilities to ensure quality of life. And so really, I would say that the key parts are to support Alaskans with any sort of progressive dementia, and really, I want to emphasize that part about quality of life. We're all about quality of life. So the history of Alzheimer's Resource of Alaska is we were founded back in 1984. And we were actually founded by two sisters who were caring for their mother, two family caregivers, caring for their mother with dementia. And they really looked around and saw that there weren't a lot of the services and supports that they needed for themselves. So they started a support group, right? They started the agency that they saw the need for themselves. And since then we've grown, we've been statewide from the beginning. So they were reaching out around the state since 1984. Now we have offices in Anchorage, of course, Fairbanks, the Mat-Su, Juneau, and then the Copper River Basin. And so that's what we're doing. We're reaching out to people. Anybody can contact us, whether you're concerned about your own, you know, memory, whether you're concerned about somebody else, whether you just have a question, if you're caring for somebody who does have a progressive dementia, or you're a professional in that role, anybody can reach out to us and we're going to try to answer your question, hook you up with support or hook you up with resources, and help improve your quality of life if we can.
Great. I want to go early to an email since people listened and sent in emails right away. I appreciate that. And this email really goes to the heart of many conversations I have in my office with people who have a parent or you know, a loved one, an aunt or an uncle or somebody with dementia. And this is really a struggle, so I'm just going to read it, and maybe, Gay, you can start us off with this, with your answer here. But my aunt was, this is from Kern in Fairbanks, so I know the first thing they can do is to give a call to you. But my aunt was recently diagnosed with dementia. My uncle passed away 2 weeks ago. They don't have kids. We don't think my aunt should live on her own, but she doesn't want to leave their house. How can we convince her that a move would be good? She is in Pennsylvania. We can't move her to assisted living memory care against her will without a legal or court process. So we're hoping to convince her that this is something she wants to do, not something that's being forced on her. I know that is really common, especially for folks that they don't want to leave their houses.
Why would they?
Yeah. So, Gay, can you sort of speak to that for a second?
Well, you know what? That is a powerful question. It's one we get a lot. Amber will attest to that, I'm sure, too. It's like you can't really convince what you're going to get to do. It depends on your mom's condition, whether she's willing to talk about it. Does she acknowledge? There's all kinds of things that go into this. The fact that she's in Pennsylvania, is there anybody close there? These are some of the questions that if you were to call us, and that's what I would advise you to do, the caller to do, is to get in touch with our agency. But because over the phone like this, without more background, it would be very difficult for me to really give you good consultation on this. There's so many different factors that go into it. I can go from my personal experience. I had a sister down in North Carolina, who we didn't realize that's what she was struggling with at the time, but she was living in conditions that were just impossible. And it took her falling in to get her out of this horrible, horrible trailer she was in. She refused. She absolutely refused. And as you said, they've got the right to do that. Turned out she does have dementia. We finally were able to get her into another place, basically because the doctor told her she could not go back to where she was living. It was no longer safe. And that's a lot of times that's what you have to do if you can't get them to understand at all. And if she's got dementia, it sounds like you're saying she's been diagnosed with that. It depends on where she is. It depends on what stage she's in, or as one of our, the assessment I like to use is the GEMS from Tipa Snow. She uses a scaling system called the GEMS that help you look at where a person may be in the process, in the journey, as we call it. So a lot of that will be depending on that. Reality is very difficult to convince someone who doesn't want to leave. It's like you get to figure out what motivates them, what would entice them. A lot of times what can work is if it's for me. In other words, if there's someone in the family that she really connects with that can say, you know, mom, your aunt, we're really worried. It would help us if we knew you were in a better place. So it's not about them, it's about you. That's one general way that sometimes people can find works. Otherwise, it can be a long process. And you're right, if she's got dementia and is living on her own and doesn't have anybody to come in, that's another step you can take, is having people finding folks that can come in and help her in the house. Again, depending on what she's still able to do and what she isn't able to do.
Right.
There's so many different levels.
And Gay, you brought up a couple of good points that I want to touch on. One of them was the dignity of choice. And, you know, people have
absolutely
the right to make choices, even if they're not good ones necessarily or safe ones. And sometimes it does take a fall or something of that nature to really sort of trigger that kind of move when it becomes about safety and their wellness. But that dignity of choice is really, really important to do as much as you can to keep somebody living in the way that they want to live until it is no longer feasible or reasonable. And some families have a great deal of resources and can afford nurses and can move in, you know, with mom or aunt, and other folks don't have that leisure. And so this one with somebody out of state is that's a tough one.
It's tough.
Amber,
it's
you have anything?
You want to find people local if you can.
Yeah.
The only thing that's made my journey with my sister is that she has very, very good friends. And it was when we were able to tell her, this isn't working anymore, Nancy, we're so sorry. We're so sorry. That's another one, is apologizing, acknowledging, of course you don't want to leave. I wouldn't either. So
right.
Acknowledging the feelings.
Nobody wants this for you either, right?
Nobody wants to move. None of us do. And acknowledging that. I don't know.
All right, Amber, you got anything to add for?
I think that first off, really challenging situation. And like Gay said, we would love to talk with you more one-on-one to talk through some of these issues. I think, Prentice, you're making a great point that people have the right to make choices even when they're bad. But I would add to that, that ability to make all your choices changes if you can't understand the consequences.
Absolutely.
And unfortunately, with these brain diseases, right? We're talking about dementia. These are brain diseases that are changing people's brains and their abilities. They may not be able to see the consequences of their choices, right? And unfortunately, also the way these brain diseases work, sometimes they're changing a person's brain in a way that keeps them from seeing that their abilities have changed. So they might be saying, I can do everything on my own, I'm safe, and that may not be true. So for this person who's written in, I would say it's a challenging situation. You want to think about, first off, I would say making sure you're not offering choices that aren't really choices. That can be really tempting, right? We want the person to be happy to go along with us. So we offer these choices like, hey, do you want to move to an assisted living? But then if they say no, I'm stuck saying, right. Well, you have to.
Yeah.
And that doesn't go well. So being really clear on what choices are available to them. I think like what Gay was saying, that it's okay to validate if the person's like, this is terrible, right? It's okay to say like, yeah, this is hard. You know,
right.
This is hard.
Validate.
So that's what I would say. And then if I can say one more thing, it's to think about that with Alzheimer's or these other progressive dementias, that they're not just memory issues. That's what we often think about with Alzheimer's, I think, right? Like that it's a memory change, but it actually changes, can change every areas of a person's thinking. And one area that it changes is reasoning. So using evidence, bringing your evidence to bear, like, or here's the five reasons it'll be really great to move to an assisted living, doesn't often work. in these situations. And we have to use some different strategies. So challenging situation, and thanks so much for sharing that.
Yeah. And there is someone in Fairbanks that you could go in and talk to in person if you wanted to,
yeah,
or you can call any of us.
Give a call to the resource, Alzheimer's Resource of Alaska, and that information is available on our show page today. I'm going to go ahead and take our first break, and then I have a couple more emails I want to read, and then I want to get into some of like the numbers and what is dementia, what is Alzheimer's. Kind of gear up for those questions. If you're just tuning in today, our focus is dementia, with a specific look at local resources and how to best support families living with dementia in Alaska. My guests are Amber Smith and Gay Wellman from Alzheimer's Resource of Alaska. If you have a question for my guests or a comment, our Anchorage phone number is 907-550-8433. Our toll-free number is 1-888-353-5752. And the last way to get your questions to us is to email them to line1@alaskapublic.org. After this short break, we'll continue with more of our conversation. I'm Prentice Pemberton. You're listening to Line One, Your Health Connection on Alaska Public Media.
You're listening to Line One from Alaska Public Media. You can find Line One on alaskapublic.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
The polls have closed on the November 8th general election. Preliminary results have been released online by the Alaska Division of Elections. Final results will not be posted until Wednesday, November 23rd, giving time for all ballots postmarked by Election Day to be counted, including mail ballots from rural Alaska, from college students in the lower 48, and from Alaskans serving in the military abroad. This message sponsored by Alaskans for Better Elections.
Welcome back to Line One, Your Health Connection on Alaska Public Media. I'm your host, Prentice Pemberton. If you are just joining us, the focus of today's program is dementia, with a focus on local resources and support for families who are living with dementia in Alaska. My guests are Amber Smith and Gay Wellman from Alzheimer's Resource of Alaska. If you have a question for my guests or a comment about today's topic, we can be reached in three ways. Our email is line1@alaskapublic.org. You can call us locally at 907-550-8433. You can also reach us toll-free from anywhere you might be listening at 1-888-353-5752. Okay, maybe Amber, you can start us off with what is dementia? What are the different types? What's the saturation in the population? How many folks have it? And what are we talking about when we say dementia?
That's a great question. I think there's a lot of confusion around this, and so when we're talking about dementia, what we're talking about is a person having a change in their thinking, right? So they're different than they were before in at least two areas of their thinking. So like a change in their memory, plus a change in their language or their reasoning or some other area of thinking, severe enough that it impacts their daily life, right? Because we all forget things sometimes. We all have trouble coming up with the word we want, or we all make an occasional bad decision. So it's really where it's starting to impact their daily life. And so it's just this general term that's saying, hey, this person has a change in their thinking in at least two areas, and it's impacting their daily life. And then the next question is, what's causing this dementia? And there's many different specific brain diseases that cause this set of symptoms that we call dementia. Alzheimer's is just the most common cause of dementia in older adults, but it's not the only cause. And I want to emphasize that because it's the most common cause, we hear a lot about it. It's in the name of our organization,
right?
But we don't only serve people with Alzheimer's, right? It's the most common cause, but we actually serve people with all sorts of progressive dementias or all sorts of causes.
All right. And dementia is, I mean, Alzheimer's, as you mentioned, is like what I've in my research, it's 60 to 80% of dementias are thought to be Alzheimer's. And it's different than the aging, the normal sort of memory decline that comes along with aging. I mean, we all have, I have older parents and, you know, they're forgetting some things, or they talk about how they can't remember where they put their keys. I mean, that's the typical stuff, but dementia is something more significant, correct?
Yeah, it's where it's impacting, it's interfering with what you need to or want to do, right? So as we age, we can expect to get some changes in our thinking, but really for normal aging, maybe we'll have we won't be able to memorize things
right
as well, right? Or we can still learn new things as we age. We might have to study a little bit harder, work a little bit harder at it, but then we have more wisdom, right? More experiences. So yeah, it's different than normal aging. Alzheimer's or other progressive dementias aren't part of normal aging.
Okay, I want
to. There are some other types of diseases that besides the Alzheimer's, and the most common ones are vascular, Parkinson's, dementia,
right,
Lewy body dementia, and then there's frontotemporal dementia, but then there's a bunch of others. So,
and regardless,
lots of reasons. Another thing about this is that there's lots of reasons why a person may experience some of these symptoms that we associate with dementia. So that's one reason why it's so important to get it diagnosed or get somebody to look at it. Get a doctor to look at, you know, to really do the screening. And we do screenings, but that's all they are, screenings. But that'll help you know whether this is something that's more than just normal memory loss.
And it seems like regardless of the cause, intervention is very, very similar in many of these things. People, families need support. Families need resources. Families need breaks. The person needs an additional higher level of care. So it almost doesn't, seems to me, it almost doesn't matter whether it's, you know, Alzheimer's or some other form of this. I do want to go to the phones. We have Ralph in Fairbanks. You have some information for us or a question? I'm not sure what's happening there.
Yes, sir.
Oh, your radio's on. Can you turn your radio off?
Right. Okay, there. That's better, huh?
Yeah, I was hearing myself coming back at me. There's a slight delay. So, yeah, you got a question for us, Ralph? Go ahead.
The first thing is that I wanted to inform everybody and your two experts there about the work of a Dr. Dale Bredesen, MD, who very recently has published this End of Alzheimer's program, the first protocol to enhance cognition and reverse decline at any age. And he starts one of his chapters with the statement that everybody knows somebody who has survived cancer. Nobody knows anybody who has survived Alzheimer's.
Right.
And his work has gone on for about 30 years. And the next book he just came out with is The First Survivors of Alzheimer's, How Patients Recovered Life and Hope in Their Own Words. And I think that this is, and the other thing is the possible misuse of the term disease. Bredesen says that this is a condition, not a disease. But the reference is the book, The End of Alzheimer's Program, The First Protocol to Enhance Cognition and Reverse Decline at Any Age. And I wish I could tell you that I've been all through it and covered it, and it's all perfectly true. It's an amazingly large thing to take on, this beginnings of dementia, and this is the only one I have found that has that I believe is the best thing going out there.
All right. Well, thank you so much for that information, for your call, Ralph. I appreciate it. And it's interesting because it goes along with an email. And I'll let our experts, my guests, answer that or see if what their thoughts are on that after I read this email. But having had a father who had Alzheimer's, I'm very interested in prevention. There are many hopeful studies that are having positive results. Are you aware of the work of Dr. Dale Bredesen and Dave Perlmutter, I guess is how it's pronounced? And if so, what do you think about this? And these are really interesting questions because, like, I have a grandfather who had Alzheimer's, and I took care of him as an 18-year-old, and we had all these discussions about when to move him out of his house and when was the right time to move him to a home, and end-of-life discussions and feedings. And, I mean, this stuff is all very personal to me and many, many other folks in our community. So the Holy Grail, right? As a young man at 18, I was terrified of it. My dad lived in fear of getting Alzheimer's until he passed the age of my grandfather. But and I always thought, well, you know, I'm not going to be that age for 50 years. Surely they'll come up with something. But they have put millions and millions of dollars into research for how to cure this or prevent it. And with very little progress, very little medications, as far as I know. So are either of you aware of Dr. Bredesen's work, and what are your thoughts?
Yes. Well, I'd like to respond to a couple things there.
Okay.
If that's okay.
Yeah.
So one thing I'd like to answer is the question about prevention. And so right now, they have over the years gathered the sort of leading experts together and these committees to figure out, to look at all the studies and say, like, what works for prevention? And really the way we talk about that is lowering our risk, okay? Because you can do everything right, you can, and still get Alzheimer's disease. There's probably a lot of factors that go into it, and some of those factors are genetic, but in a very complex way. But they have come up with ideas on things that you can do, actions you can take to lower your risk. Okay, because I can't change my genes, but I can maybe change some other things. All those things that your doctor has told you are good for your heart are also good for your brain. So, and I know it's really hard to do, but some things that you can do would be stop smoking if you smoke. Directly protect your brain is one, right? Wear a seatbelt when you should, or wear a helmet when you should. Try to avoid, wear your ice grippies, right? Try to avoid head injuries. Work with your doctor to make sure that if you're ever told you have high blood pressure, high cholesterol, or diabetes, that you get those under control, you get those down to target. And then it's staying active, right? Staying physically active, staying socially active, staying cognitively active, right? So challenging yourself, exercising, getting out of your groove, staying active. Those are all things that can lower people's risk. So that goes to the prevention aspect. I want to also say that we have to be very careful out there Because as Prentice was saying, right, in taking care of a grandparent, right, you get this fear for yourself. And a lot of us have this fear, even if nobody in our family has had Alzheimer's or another dementia, it can be scary, right? And so there's people out there who want to, who can exploit that fear, right, to try to sell us things,
right,
that they'll say can prevent this. And so we want to be really cautious as we go out there and really view it with a critical eye as we go forth in the world, right? To say, like, does this make sense? Is this what my doctor is recommending? You know, or my other medical professional? Is this what most people are saying? And I'm always happy to talk with people more about studies they might see or information that they might get, to sort of really look through to say, who does this apply to?
I'd like to add just a little bit on that too, because I'm agreeing 100% with what Amber is saying here. The reality is that let me start over again. There was this thing called the nurses study done years and years and years ago. I don't know exactly when, but it was a while back, where they found they had some nurses. They had not nurses. I'm sorry.
Is it the nun study?
The nun study. Thank you, Amber.
Oh, yeah. Right.
So, my moment. The nun study, where they had some nuns who donated their brains, and none of them had been showing any real sign of dementia. But when they did the autopsy on the brains, they found that some of these ladies had pretty severe advanced Alzheimer's, as far as the brains were concerned, and yet they hadn't been showing any of the symptoms. I'm also remembering that there's a psychologist that for years was very prominent in the field of talking about dementia and all that sort of thing. And I heard him talk one time, and he didn't sound like he had dementia, but he said, "You need to ask my wife." He was able to talk very articulately. He was able to express himself. He was able to make good choices and those kind of things. But he said, "Talk to my wife." So I think that, as Amber said, we just need to be careful. And it's not to say that Brennington or whoever, what Dale book is not a valid book to look at and to consider. It sounds like what he's advising is pretty much the same sort of thing of stay healthy. There's lots you can do to prevent, in a sense. But it's just like with heart disease. People can have risk of heart disease and do everything right, you know, live their life well, and then they die of heart disease. They have a heart attack. So there's no guarantee, you know. That's the whole thing, is that you want to look and say, okay, is this somebody, when I'm reading something, is this something that I think I can follow? With the idea that, okay, I'll do the best I can. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't mean they weren't right in many ways. But the idea of being able to say, you are not going to have dementia if you do this. It's kind of like saying, you're not going to have heart disease if you do this.
Right.
It's the same kind of thing. You know, we're not in charge that much. And we all do die at some point. So
none of us are getting out of here alive.
No, you know, there's a lot of kinds of jokes about that, but it's right. Like, and whether I die because I have Alzheimer's, or whether I die because I've got heart disease, or whether it's because I'm not taking my medication for my cholesterol or whatever, you know, the whatever it is, or because I'm not being careful and I have a car accident. So there's no guarantee, but best you can do, use your best thinking, use your intelligence and critical thinking, the thing about critical thinking. And of course, that's one of the things that goes or begins to go when a person actually develops this progressive disease. And, you know, the gentleman mentioned, Ralph, you mentioned the idea of the difference between a disease or a condition. You know, and I agree. I think that there's times when we use this, the disease, that calling something a disease makes it more scary, where if it's a condition, it's not as scary. And that's not a bad thing to do, is to call it a condition rather than a disease. You know, it's kind of like, okay, if it makes me feel not as hopeless, and that's really what our goal at ARA, at least, you know, is that we want to help people get over the hopeless feeling. and right. to recognize that there are things they can do to make their life better, no matter where they are in it, no matter where the journey is. The whole goal is to make you feel better. If it makes you feel more positive to read the book and to go by the book, go do it. The reality, though, is that it may not be everything it's caught out to be. And I'm not saying it's not. I'm just saying that just be thinking critically about it. Be aware.
All right. We all know stories about, like, I think it was Jim Fix, the marathon runner who died of a heart attack and at a very young age.
Right.
You know, it is about reducing risk and doing things that keep you healthy. But it also seems like the same suggestions are true for just about every issue that health concern that we have. And I think the caution exactly. here is to be aware of someone who says drink 10 ounces of this and the fat will melt off your body like magic, right? Like,
yes,
that's
exactly.
It's important to consider, to educate yourself, to be an informed consumer, which I think is critical. But I'm always open to reading new things and questioning what we know, because often what we know, we don't know. And exactly. So it's important to do your own education. So, but here's an email, and I think this leads us well. I'll read the email, and then we'll come back, then we'll take a break, and we'll come back into answering Brad's question. So it says, what a great topic. I personally experienced this for 4+ years taking care of my mother in her home. She did okay, but it was a heck of an ordeal. I don't think I can say the other word. Compounded by my dysfunctional family and their bizarre reactions and armchair criticisms and offering no help whatsoever and leaving caretaking to only one person, myself. You would love to get a hold of this podcast and replay it. How do I find it? Well, I can answer that part. You go to Alaska Public Media and you click on the link to line one, and it'll pop up and you can push the replay button. It's usually available just a couple of hours pretty quickly after the show. But so many families I hear, there is one who gets stuck sort of holding the bag, and there's lots of people telling them what they should or should not do. So I'm going to go ahead and take a break, and then I want to come back and talk a little bit about resources and why it's so vital to not do this alone. If you're just tuning in, the focus of today's program is dementia, and we are discussing local resources and supports for families. I say families living with dementia in Alaska because it is not just about the person who has it. My guests are Amber Smith and Gay Wellman from Alzheimer's Resource of Alaska. After a short break, we will continue with more of our conversation. I'm Prentice Pemberton, and you are listening to Line One, Your Health Connection on Alaska Public Media.
You're listening to Line One from Alaska Public Media. You can find Line One on alaskapublic.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
The polls have closed on the November 8th general election. Preliminary results have been released online by the Alaska Division of Elections. Final results will not be posted until Wednesday, November 23rd, giving time for all ballots postmarked by Election Day to be counted, including mail ballots from rural Alaska, from college students in the lower 48, and from Alaskans serving in the military abroad. This message sponsored by Alaskans for Better Elections.
Welcome back to Line One, Your Health Connection on Alaska Public Media. I am your host, Prentice Pemberton. If you are just tuning in, our topic today is dementia, with a special focus on resources and supports for families living with dementia in Alaska. My guests are Amber Smith and Gay Wellman from Alzheimer's Resource of Alaska. If you have a question for my guests or a comment about today's topic, please give us a call in the next 5 minutes or so. And you can also email us. Our email is line1@alaskapublic.org. You can call us in Anchorage. Our local number is 907-550-8433. And our toll-free number outside of Anchorage is 1-888-353-5752. Okay, so before the break, I brought up Brad's email about the challenges of caring for someone, and it sounds like Brad was out on an island by himself, so to speak, which is a difficult place to be when you're trying to navigate this and you're not getting breaks. So can you talk about the importance of getting supports and what kind of supports are available to people in Alaska who are struggling with this difficult situation?
Yeah, I'd like to take that one on, and Amber, please fill in whenever you think I need to be corrected or changed or whatever. But what I'm mainly working with is families. And Brad, what the thing that you brought up is very, very common. Unfortunately, there are others that have help. What you're wanting to do is get help as soon as possible. Help with figuring out how to deal with family members that are opposing things. We have one of the training things that we do is something called the Savvy Caregiver Program, which really gives a lot of really kind of some good ideas of how to deal with things. And again, remembering that every situation is different, but you get general ideas. There's generally things that will work that seem to work for most people. And it's just a matter of working it out, trying to figure things out and figure out what will work and what doesn't. Getting stuck is often it. And there's a lot of feelings around that. And so it's mostly around helping people. What we're doing is we help people, family members, talk with each other about it. You're not alone. That's the other piece. And what we hear from most of our support group people or people that attend the classes is, oh, it's such a relief to know I'm not alone. We can't, as Prentice, as you mentioned, you cannot do this by yourself. It doesn't work. You're going to have to get some help. There's a lot of help available. Get in touch with our agency. Check out our website, alzalaska.org. And you'll find all the different things that we're doing to help with that. Any one of us that are education specialists are going to give you pretty much the same kind of encouragement and support that you need and help you figure out what works for you. Because again, it's not about us having magic swans and wands and there being a right answer and a wrong answer. It's more about finding ways to be able to keep thinking under some pretty heavy duty challenges. And so it's, you know, that's probably the best thing I can say about it is that there is a resource guide that the state has put together, a group of folks involved in brain changes across the state got together and developed a very good resource guide. It's pretty available. You can find it most doctors are supposed to have it, but again, contact our agency and we'll get you a copy of it. It gives lots of advice, lots of suggestions. I hate the word advice, but lots of suggestions of where to go, where to get information about all kinds of issues. So Amber, did you want to fill in anything there?
Yeah. Of course, one of the first things I thought about in listening to that was our Savvy Caregiver class, because we do talk about families. And in the Savvy Caregiver class, we actually call the situation that was described there, the observed caregiver, right? Yeah. You're doing everything, but other people feel free to chime in with, you know what you should do, which just adds to the burden. So, some of the resources that are available for through our agency and others are information, right? Calling up with that one simple question or that one more challenging question, like how do we do this? And we can help you brainstorm. We offer classes, and those vary from an hour and a half on a specific subject to, like we're saying, the Savvy Caregiver class. The Savvy Caregiver class is a 6-week class just for family and friends who are currently taking care of somebody who's living with dementia. And it meets 2 hours a week. And I really describe it as a job training class for this job you never thought you'd have, a family caregiver. We also offer support groups where you can meet with other caregivers who are at various places in their caregiving journey, hear how they've done it, right? Hear what their situation is, and again also learn that you're not alone. I think that it can feel very isolating To either be yourself diagnosed with a dementia and be living with dementia. And we have support groups for people who are living with dementia themselves. And we also have activity groups, right, for people who are living with dementia. We do an art group. We have a chorus. We have memory cafes. And then we also offer trainings for professionals. So there's a lot of things going on. And again, that message to reiterate what Gay said, you're not alone, right? Whatever is happening at your house or whatever worries you have, there are other people with those same worries or those same challenges, and there are a lot of people who want to connect with you and help.
Yeah, that's an important point, because I think just like any other thing, whether it be depression, PTSD, substance abuse, that sense of aloneness and the lack of connection to other people who are experiencing the same thing can be devastating for folks, and that sense of isolation. So I think that's a critical piece, is to reach out and connect with other people, to pick their brain. How did they handle it? And a lot of times it can be a mutual like care situation. You can have an opportunity to get some respite. I think respite is important for caregivers. Yes. to take care of themselves. I can't overstate the importance of self-care when you are going and running and taking people to doctors and always watching grandpa, right? It's critical to take care of yourself, to put the oxygen mask on yourself before you put it on your children.
Exactly.
All right. So I do have an interesting email, and something I hadn't really heard about, and maybe Amber, you can speak to this, but it says, good morning. I have a question for today's guest. This is from Steve. It says, please discuss the efficacy of reminiscence therapy for dementia. Which forms of dementia does it have results, and which forms and why? Have you heard of that, Amber?
Well, I've certainly heard of reminiscence, and I've heard right? the words reminiscence therapy, but I wouldn't really be able to speak to studies showing efficacy if the outcome is different than quality of life.
Right.
Okay. So when I think about reminiscence, and when I think about things that we're doing for people who are living with dementia, I'm thinking about quality of life, right? How can I connect with them? And how can they have a great day? And so that's where I put in reminiscence. I think part of the question was about what sorts of dementia. I would say that, you know, reminiscence and connecting with people that way would be for anybody who wants to do it. We often think about using reminiscence in Alzheimer's, because what we know about Alzheimer's is that it affects people's short-term memory first, right? So my short-term memory is who visited me last week or what did I have for breakfast, but my long-term memories are intact longer, right? So where did I go to school? What was it like when I was growing up? And so connecting with people around those old memories and hearing those stories, I think can be really, really powerful. But as far as knowing about it changing the course of dementia, I don't have any information on that.
Yeah, I have, my own thoughts on it, and this is does not speak to the efficacy or actual any studies, but working with my grandfather, I remember like there was a time when he was pretty advanced, didn't really know who any of us really were, and was pretty combative and wandered a lot, would take off, and I would follow him around the streets. He would get his briefcase and his hat, and he had to go to a meeting, right? But he didn't know mm-hmm. anything that was going on, and so we'd just walk around. But something interesting happened is he had some visitors who had lived with him and my grandmother in Hong Kong 40 years before, and they came through Atlanta when we were living there, and they walked in, and my grandfather lit up like a light bulb and knew who they were. And for almost an hour straight, he talked about those old times, and he reminisced, and they talked about people. And my dad and I were just sitting there like in shock, kind of like, what is happening? Yeah. But so much of the memories that are retained are those old ones, like from childhood. And that's why people with dementia often mistaken you for their younger child or ask when someone's coming home. I mean, it's that short-term stuff that really gets wiped out. But that quality of life that you're speaking to is really critical. And there's a great book, and I'm going to look it up. And I interviewed Gary Chapman, the Five Love Languages guy,
and oh, great.
and his partner in the book was a man who had his wife was diagnosed with early onset Alzheimer's, and they really talked about living and loving with dementia and Alzheimer's. And the name of the book is escaping me right now, but it's Gary Chapman, and I'll look it up. But that quality of life thing and living in the moment and meeting people where they are is critical in this process, I think.
Prentice, I have the book right here. It's called Keeping Love Alive
yes.
as Memory Fades.
Yes.
The
fabulous,
Five Love Languages, The Alzheimer's Journey.
For anyone who has a partner or a loved one who's going through this, I just love that book. It was very touching. And the interview is available in Alaska Public Media in our archives online one, so you can go back and listen to that interview with the authors. It was a remarkable story. So, okay, we're sort of getting towards the end of our time, so I'm not going to... Oh, I guess we have one more call that we can take quickly. Pam in Fairbanks, go ahead.
This is Pam Miller, and I have a long experience with Alzheimer's, three generations back in my family. And I want to present information from the journal Lancet of a systematic story of the science, that there are prevention factors that are very important. And the ones that you might not think of are the most important steps you can take to prevent Alzheimer's are in middle age and in your 40s before the symptoms would be showing up. And also using hearing aids is just is very important. Hypertension, excess alcohol drinking, head trauma, you talked about smoking, obesity, but doing this in midlife, people don't know that. I didn't know that as someone who knew that this could be in my future. I'll send the host the link to the scientific paper. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate
it.
Thank
very
you, Pam.
Important.
Yeah.
I appreciate the call.
I think she's talking about an article from The Lancet in 2020, and it has 12 factors or 12 things that can help reduce our risk. So, thanks for bringing up some of those that I hadn't mentioned.
All right. 15 seconds, take home points. Gay, we can start with you.
Okay. Get a hold of us if you have any issues. And there was one thing that I don't think we mentioned a whole lot of, that sometimes personality change can happen, and some people don't see that as being part of this process, but it is. But
all right.
Contact us.
Amber?
ALZAlaska.org.
And my take-home message is, you are not alone. Please reach out. Our conversation, you know, our radio show is going to end, but our conversation does not have to end, and you are not alone.
All right. My thanks to my guests, Amber Smith and Gay Wellman. I appreciate you both for joining us today. Check out the website for links about today's topic. My thanks to producer Madeline Rose and to our audio engineer, Dave Waldron. We will be off for the next 2 weeks, so you'll be listening to recorded episodes. For all of us at Line One, thanks for taking the time to listen in today. Until next time, I'm Prentice Pemberton. Have a great day, Alaska.
Line One is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the host and participants and not necessarily those of Alaska Public Media, this station, or its underwriters. Learn more about Line One and listen online at alaskapublic.org. This is Alaska Public Media.